Hello and welcome to Our Dad's Died, the podcast of people who've lost someone. It's called Our Dad's Died because our dad's died. But if someone you know or love has gone, it's all right. Listen to us laugh about it and sort of laugh at our own suffering, and maybe you'll laugh at it too and we'll all have a good time. This week's episode is all about dreams. When you dream about someone after they've gone, what does that mean? Are they trying to get in touch with you somehow from the other side? Or is it all hullabaloo? This week, me and Rich get into it, and I really love this episode. It makes me laugh so much when I re-listen to it. I can't wait for you to listen to it too. Before we get into the episode though, I just want to jump on a few of these amazing, wonderful, touching, heartfelt comments we've had. People leaving us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and saying something lovely. Rich,
I would like to say very quickly that I am here as well. Didn't really contribute anything to that bit, but I was here for all of it. Hello.
Yeah, well, I was introducing you.
Oh, right, okay. Just felt like it was quite a long time. I thought maybe you'd forgotten I was here as well.
I said Rich, and then you started talking.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, it was the perfect introduction.
As we'd rehearsed.
Well, you're here now, I'm here.
Would you like a review?
I'd love a review.
Great, because I've got one. This is a lovely review from UK Mad, an iPhone user, I assume. And it's titled Sensitive and Funny, which are there are nicknames for each other.
Which one's sensitive and which one's funny?
Well, that's up for the listener to decide. So UK Mad has said, death happens in all our lives, which is very much one of the catchphrases of it will come to you. Death happens in all our lives, and in some ways it's very simple, but we make death and the processes around it very complex, and sorting out the aftermath for those left behind is a whole issue by itself. A great podcast that brings wit and humour to a subject that we shy away from so often. From my personal experience, if you don't laugh at some of the absurdities, you really do cry. Well done, both of you. Very enjoyable, and I'm sure will help others going through this journey. Thank you very much, UK Mad.
If you don't laugh, you will cry.
That's again, another one of our catchphrases.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can help you out with a bit of the laughing. But also, if you cry, that's fine, because, you know, crying is a good way of dealing with grief. Don't hold it in, is what I'm saying.
No, in my experience, I would say if you can do any emotions, brilliant.
Yeah.
I've sort of broadly become an emotionless husk, as that is genuinely is one of my catchphrases.
Yeah.
And it's steeped in reality. We have another review here. We've actually had a bunch of reviews in this week, and we're only reading a couple of them out. Alicia Liu, every nickname is taken, good work. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. A really original and refreshing podcast, so well done. Tom and Rich are hilarious and make a great duo. Can't wait for the next season. Thank you.
And if you can't wait for the next season, well, no, you will have to wait for the next season. But we're recording the next season as we speak, and we do need some contribution from you guys, if possible. But we'll give you more information on that at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, we really need you to get in touch, particularly on the topic of this episode. We'll talk to you about that at the end, Rich.
We will. But before all that, here is us discussing the topic of dreams. Hope you enjoy. See you in a bit.
One thing that I was in no way prepared for when my dad died was that something like 33 to 50% of my dreams post-death have featured my dead dad in some capacity.
Yeah, and I think that's quite a common thing. I feel like I could have warned you about that.
I didn't.
I could have. I chose not to. Yeah, you discover that for yourself. I had the same, and it continues, because it's been an extra 6 years for me, and I still get them from time to time. They're different, but can you remember the first one that you had?
Yeah. So I think the first dream I had, just
First dream about your dad after he died.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I can't remember the first one because I think the first few became quite muddled in that initial period. I was a bit of a, what you might call, a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
So, without getting too deep into the specifics, what I can more easily describe it as is, if the first dream was we were all at the zoo, one of the most recent dreams was we were at the zoo without him, but he was working in the coffee shop and popped up for about 5 seconds in the dream to serve us the coffees, and then he left.
were you aware that this is your dad?
That's dad giving us the coffees, absolutely.
And but the way it happens in dreams, that wasn't, you weren't like, what's he doing here? He's dead and he's not a barista. You were just like, yeah, thanks, Dad. We're off to see the giraffe.
The correct order of what you'd be surprised by as well, to be fair. Him yeah. being alive, yeah. number yeah. one shocker. Number two.
It is the biggest surprise.
Not barista, though, is he? Yeah.
Yeah, it would be an odd reaction to go, hang on, Dad, you don't work at a coffee
work
shop.
At Starbucks.
And you're alive.
Also. Yeah, it's been like that. It's been like that every as the dreams have gone on, they've all taken a step closer towards absurdity, or just being removed slightly from the circumstance. I'm half expecting the next right. zoo dream when we get there will be he'll be one of the animals,
or he'll be all of the animals.
Oh, that's a horrible John Malkovich-esque suggestion.
They'll all have their animal bodies, but your dad's head. On top of each one.
Yeah, that is.
That's what I'm picturing.
Oh, I don't like it.
It's also alarming, considering I said at the start, you know, this continues. Mm. It's been 7 years, well, 6.5 years for me, and I still have dreams about my dad. It's been a year and a bit for you, and if it's going to carry on escalating at this rate, God knows where you're going to end up.
You've got to think that sooner or eventually, at the very least, he'll be the zoo. We'll yeah, be entering yeah. him, which is a horrible vision.
Yeah.
One of the things that I didn't expect to happen when Dad died was half of my dreams would involve my dad, right? And part of the purpose of this podcast is to talk about this kind of thing. So, Rich, your dad died 6 years ago. You've presumably yeah. had some dreams featuring him since then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Break him down for me.
Well, the thing that surprised me is that, because I love dreams, but you know how people always say, you know, a relationship is dead when you're explaining your dreams to each other or something.
Oh God, who says that?
That's the thing I've heard people say is like, oh, if you wake up and your partner starts telling you your dream.
My partner tells me about her dreams all the time.
Yeah, same. And I love it. It's the thing I'm most excited about in the morning is telling my girlfriend what I dreamt about and her telling me what she dreamt about. Because dreams are mental and I love them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't want to derail you too far, but I've got a few notes. First one being, I'm concerned, well, this is about my relationship because I hate hearing about dreams. And the second one is, when you say the thing you're most excited for in the morning, there's not a lot of time to be excited having just woken up.
Yeah, yeah, but in order of things I'm excited about, they go hearing her dreams, yep. breakfast.
Yeah, of course.
Morning poo, the big three.
Big three! We all love them.
And I've always said, I will not poo until she's told me her dreams. It's my daily ultimatum.
It's never been conjoined. The twain never shall meet, or has there been a...
Well, unless she's dictating a dream to me through the door, or is that what you're suggesting?
A mid-poo dream.
Oh, I see. I don't think she's ever dreamt that I've been doing a poo.
Ah.
But if she has, she hasn't explained it to me, which breaks the clause of our contract and means she's in for some horrible punishment. Poo-poo-wise, not.
Oh, boy.
Not anything darker than that, though. That is already considerably darker than I intended.
Tell you, dwelling on end this made sentence. It much darker.
Hasn't it? Hasn't it just?
It was troublesome.
But I love dreams and I love how weird dreams are, but I've never believed in that idea that, you know, they're they have any meaning or you can analyze them. I think they're just weird things that happen in your head. But then when my dad died, all of my dreams suddenly became these sort of quite elegant metaphors for loss. And it was so the first one that I remember having was me and my, and I'm always a teenager. Whenever I dream about my dad, I'm like 13, 14, even now. And in this dream, we were in the leisure centre in Kidderminster, where I grew up.
Yeah.
And we were all going through the little sort of turnstile thing that they have. And then we all went through and they wouldn't let my dad go through the turnstile. And so we were all gathered on the other side about to go swimming. And dad couldn't get through, and then we all started crying, and then they led him away down this corridor.
Oh, God!
And I knew then that I wasn't going to see him again. And it was, but it was all quite sort of established, and the lady behind the desk was very strict about the fact that he couldn't come through and that he couldn't join us in the swimming pool, and then people just came and sort of shepherded him away. And that was a couple of days after he died. And then the next night I had another one where we were in a car park. I don't know if it was a leisure centre car park, but we were in a car park and we were all saying goodbye to him because he was going in a different car to us. And then I had to help my Uncle Steve reverse his car out of his parking spot. And I did that. And then when I turned around, my dad had gone and I knew I'd never see him again.
Every time in your dream, you have, I mean, quite a solid realization that that's the end of your relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, essentially, every dream ends with me essentially almost immediately coming to terms with the fact that he's gone. Because quite often people say that these like dreams are about trying to wrestle with how difficult it is to lose someone. My head was like, yep, see ya. Got it. Off you go.
Oh, that's nicely worrying, that
isn't it? And but then if you start analysing that dream, you know, why a leisure centre, I guess.
Well, Rich, this is where I've got us covered, because okay. I've got dreammoods.com. Now this is the this is a dream dictionary website, so they reckon that they've got all the answers.
If you were going to sort of analyse a dream, you can make anything make sense. So if you were going to analyse that dream, you'd go leisure centre. It is a place you'd go as a family when you were kids, and you were a kid in the dream and you were with your family, separated from your dad. And so it's your subconscious's way of preparing you for the end of your childhood, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then another part of me would go, Rich, you were 24 when this happened. You should have already said goodbye to your childhood. And I would say, yes, I should. And yes, I still should. I'm 31 years old and still very much a child. But I think if you take, you can take any part of it and apply a metaphor to it. Car park. Why a car park? Actually, that one. That one I don't know.
That one's going to be harder to...
That's... you have to pay, but you can only stay for a certain amount of time. That's the metaphor in car park. It's a temporary stay. And it's saying that life is a temporary stay. And it has four stories, and it's becoming increasingly expensive.
What I've got is...
Okay. Is it that? Is it what I just said?
I've got swimming pool.
Okay.
And it reckons...
Tears. I'm going to guess tears?
It's no, no. This is saying that it's about relaxation and says you need to take a break. I'm not... I don't know why, but it says...
Right.
Anna, hang on. They have,
from my father?
They have got...
I'm taking quite an enforced break from my dad currently.
Absolutely. It has got, it suggests, a swimming pool suggests you need to acknowledge and understand your feelings. Though I suspect they might say that under everything on this website. But...
yeah.
Oh, it does say, hang on, they have got a pun for it. It's time to dive in and deal with the emotions.
Okay.
So they've got the pun.
Right. I feel like that's quite a harsh reading of a dream that I had. I mean, literally 2 days after he died. These people are going, well, you need to hurry up and
deal with
it.
Did you see
it,
the
frankly.
Swimming pool in the dream? Can you remember?
No, we didn't. We just went through the lobby and the turnstile.
Hang on a second. Dreammoods.com has got you covered.
Oh, we've got an entry on lobby.
To see an empty swimming pool or not see a swimming pool, which I suspect isn't referring
that counts
to
for most dreams.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is it not?
I assume they're not talking about every swimming pool dream. I suspect they mean you go to where it is and it isn't, or I guess so. Being in a lobby and the you don't get to a swimming pool. I'm gonna count it.
Okay.
It says, Rich, that you are literally feeling empty and devoid of emotions.
Oh wow!
So,
God. So how did people, before the invention of swimming pools, how did people express their lack of emotion in dreams?
Well, people didn't dream, did they?
Oh, before the invention of swimming pools, no. Those two happened at the same time, didn't they?
So I've looked up car on dreammoods.com.
Okay.
They've got a lot.
Car or car park?
They haven't got a car park. I was just wondering if you could tell me a bit more about it, and I could draw out a few individual aspects, because they've got a lot of car information. Ooh.
Well, I was helping my Uncle Steve reverse his car out of a spot. So I guess reverse?
Yeah.
Uncle Steve? Is Uncle Steve in there?
Now, it says, to see a parked car in your dream suggests you need to turn your efforts and energies elsewhere.
Okay.
So when was this dream?
Well, that dream was about a couple of nights after the first dream.
Yeah, so it was your brain was going, stop worrying about it. He's dead, he's gone. Right?
Again, quite a brutal take.
Well, it does say you may be needlessly spending your energy in a fruitless endeavour, which you'd have to say, to some extent, you know, once he has died...
It's an accurate but fairly unkind reading of grief, isn't it?
Very interestingly, they have got a section on haunted cars, which...
Okay, let's... Why not? We're here now.
It's the last... this is the last dreammoods.com section of this podcast. It says, a haunted car represents unfinished goals. So, you started off on a powerful journey but never reached the end. So I was just wondering if you had any unfinished goals that I could help you finish.
Having a living dad was one of my goals, I guess. I planned to get through a significant portion of my life with a dad.
Mm.
And then, so my unfinished goal was having a dad? Does that make sense?
No, but it does nicely wrap up this section, so thanks.
The big question for me with dreams is... We've discussed it briefly already, but do you think, you personally, think that dreams actually mean anything?
No.
No, okay, so we're agreed on that.
I think dreams have no meaning at all. It's just your brain doing some nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone gives some kind of significance to it, I don't immediately write it off. I go, okay, I like that interpretation. I enjoy the interpretation. Mm. Though I don't believe it's steeped in science, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They're random and sort of order is imposed on them afterwards, rather than they are in fact messages from your subconscious.
Yes.
Or beyond the grave, as has been suggested.
Oh no.
So I did a little bit of research into sort of dream theory, and found a website that talked a little bit about dreaming about someone who's died, and they split them into two different types of dream. One is called a visitation dream, and one is called a release dream.
I had a release dream when I was 13.
It's lovely stuff, but let's wade through the mucky waters of of any sort of dream release.
Yes.
And into the more serious waters of interpreting the death of a parent through things that happen in your head while you're asleep.
Well, it would be a weird dream to have for it to end up being a release dream. That's what I will say.
For those two things to cross swords, so to speak. So, according to this website, release dreams help us process our feelings. So the dreams that we've talked about, in which we've experienced release, are...
Go on, what dreams have you had when you experienced release?
Well, according to this website, the two dreams I talked about the car park and the leisure centre, would both be classed as release dreams.
Oh no.
Where I was processing my feelings and essentially moving on, which again I feel is an alarming indictment of me, that 48 hours after my dad's death, my brain was already going, come on, mate, we're
rapid
over this.
Rapid reaction to it.
Yeah, yeah. Visitation dreams, according to this website, are...
I'm really glad we're getting off release dreams, because... Just can't stop laughing.
Well, you've got to get off with release dreams.
That's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the appeal.
Mm.
Visitation dreams, on the other hand, are communications from beyond.
Okay, here we go.
So these are legitimate messages from the loved one who has died. And I just wanted to quote this. And it's also important to say, I don't mean to disparage... this, if you're someone who gets comfort from this idea, I frankly hope that it's true. I'd love to be visited from beyond the grave. I just don't believe it. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed this quote, which was, it is impossible for us to prove much about the afterlife.
Yeah.
However, there is enough evidence to support the belief that loved ones can communicate with us through our dreams.
It's quite funny, though, to be fair to him.
There is. There just is. And then I looked for that proof, and lower down it said, for many of us, proof, in inverted commas, is not necessary.
Well, there it is then.
Yeah. So I think that's been pretty much proven.
It's nice, but because it's like initially like, all right, fair enough, we'll give you the afterlife, but can we just compromise on the dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds reasonable when you phrase it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you've ever had a visitation dream from your dad? Have you ever had a dream where your dad has said anything profound or spoken directly to you, or is it mainly zoo-based mayhem?
Absolutely. No. In no way, never. I've had a lot of dreams where we've been travelling to places or about to go to places, or he says that and then we go there. So, like, we're going to go to the beach and then... the next memory of a dream is we're at the beach and I'm kind of in the sands and he's mm-hmm. over there and we're sort of playing at the beach kind of thing. I've had a lot of those where we'll do an activity. What I would say is that, to be fair to it's believable because it's real person,
mm-hmm.
If my dad was capable of visiting me in a dream due to the nature of the relationship that we had, going to the beach together would really be what he would do, I would have thought. I mean, that is a check in that column.
Yeah. And to be fair, likewise, if very normal behaviour for my dad to wander off in a leisure centre.
Yeah.
It's exactly the kind of thing he used to do. But that's the thing with the idea that these are messages from beyond the grave.
Yeah.
Is that in all of these dreams, my dad just fucks off.
That's the cold part, like, of it.
He's come to visit and he's just been like, oh yeah, no, I've got other things to do actually, see you in a bit.
I'd stop in, but you know, I've only got a few hours here to get the stuff going, you know.
He's turned up from beyond the grave and he's gone, what are we doing, swimming? Oh no, not for me actually.
Do you know what, you've got a whole lifetime of dreams that I could pop in, I don't want to go swimming.
Yeah, I'll come back when you're having a more interesting one, see you in a bit.
Go to the beach, I'll come along. It's just fortunate that in all of my dreams we've been doing activities my dad would enjoy.
Yeah.
One of them is working as a barrister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, weirdly.
Oh, barrister. I thought there was a further dream in which he was representing you in court.
Yeah, I just got that word a bit muddled, didn't I?
Imagine that, a dream in which your dad is representing you in the case in which you've been tried for his murder.
Oh, my God. Your Honour, I'm alive! Case dismissed.
It would be a brave judge who found you guilty of the murder of the man representing you.
The man who's right there. Ugh, exactly.
If your dad were to visit you in a dream and say, Tom, avenge my death.
Oh, God. Against
how would
cancer?
You go about that? Yes.
I mean, I think it would be quite a lot of pressure for my dad to put on me to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm. But it's what he's done.
Feels like he's asked too much.
What if he came to you in a dream and said, Tom, okay, you can't cure cancer.
This is the next night. He's like, yeah. I got a bit excited.
I misspoke. I was just, it's my first dream. I didn't really know what the etiquette is, but I've had a think. Actually, don't cure cancer, but if you could do a fun run for McMillan.
Oh, that's interesting. I will answer it, but the way you phrased that question really made it sound like you were about to say, don't cure cancer, make it worse. It's a different request. Would I do a fun run if in my dream my dad said do a fun run? You know what? I would.
You would.
I think if my dad, I had a dream that my dad was in where he said, I just need to do a fun run, I feel like I might as well. But where's the cutoff? Mm. Rich, for example, would you also do the fun run?
What are we talking here? 5K?
That's what I'm saying. It's a 3K and you get a medal.
Oh, I'd do a 3K for a medal, whether or not my dad was dead or alive.
Well, you can do that anyway.
I love medals.
Right, in that case, it's a 3K. No medal. And actually, you have to give them a medal. That's the worst part.
Oh, no. One of my existing medals. I think if my dad came to me and said, I want you to do a fun run for meningitis research, and he said that in a dream, I think part of me would definitely think, have you not got anything more personal to say?
Yes. Well, this is my thing to you is that I'm just wondering where the cutoff is, because I would also do a 3K. I would even do a 5K. But if your dad came to you in a dream, look, you're not going to do a marathon, right? So what you would do is somewhere between a 3K and a marathon. And I'm just trying to find where it is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, 5K, yeah.
What about a 10? What about a 10?
No, that's the thing. Couch to 5K, I think, is achievable. A 10K, if there was an app that would tell me exactly how to do that, then maybe. But I'm not a runner. 10K is it's a lot of K.
What about if it was a light triathlon, where it was a 5K... No, a 3K run, a 3K swim, and a 3K bike? Is that a lot of swimming, 3K? That sounds like loads of swimming.
Yes.
It's too much, isn't it?
It's quite a short. It's a really short bike ride. Yeah. Quite a short run. And an incredibly arduous swim.
Yeah, sorry. It's whatever. 1K swim, 3K run, 5K bike.
Right. I mean, I probably should.
It's a lot of work, though, isn't it?
I don't know if a... Because that's... I briefly started running... because it's meant to be good for your mental health. After my dad died and I wasn't feeling good, I thought, well, I've tried everything else. I've tried crying. I've tried hating myself.
I tried crying. Didn't work.
That's not worked. So let's try running.
Yeah.
And I went running, and I used to try to, when I got tired, to actively think, these are experiences your dad would love to have, because he's dead now and he can't experience...
God.
You know, the sun going down over Lakeside in Doncaster. He can't experience the pain in his lungs when he's breathing cold air. And it didn't help. I mean, it helped for four steps.
Of course it didn't help. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's just the running variation on parents saying to their child, you better eat these peas because there's children starving in Africa.
Yeah.
You were doing was that, but with running and a dead parent, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. He was the African child in this scenario.
But that's what worries me is that I think as much as I would wake up from a dream in which my dad had for some reason ordered me to do a 10K, I would wake up hugely motivated. And I think that motivation would last for max 2K.
All right. So I've amended the deal. He asked us to do a 3K.
So this is the next night. My dad's come back again.
He's got loads of papers. And he's like, look, I thought about it. I'm so sorry. I've been disorganised. But it's your dad to be like... Loud man. He's got loads of papers. Yeah. And he's, look, it's a 3K. That's it. You would do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the night before 3K.
Right.
Your dad, who hasn't visited you in a dream, visits you once again. Okay.
Since then.
Disarray. Papers everywhere. Just, he's moving. Sorry. He sounds like, you know, start of Mary Poppins. With the on the playing stuff. That's what you're
right. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like she walks in the room. And he goes, Rich, I'm so sorry. I'm literally crying. He says, I'm so sorry. I got it completely wrong. Don't do it.
Oh.
And he goes, don't do it.
Whatever happens.
Don't do the 3K. And then you wake up.
Okay.
Now, do you do the 3K?
Oh. Well, I mean, I've never needed much motivation to not do a 3K.
Yeah.
I've quite successfully travelled through my life without ever accidentally doing a 3K. Mm-hmm. Certainly not against someone's wishes.
But Rich.
So no.
Here's the problem.
Oh no.
You've got a Just Giving page. Raised 230 quid to do this.
Oh shit. That's not a lot.
It's, well, you don't know many people. It's your Just Giving page. You know, you've only got yourself to blame for that. Market it better. Go on Twitter, you know.
I think the dream aspect put a lot of people off. I've seemed a bit mad.
Well, if that didn't put him off, this new wrinkle is really going to concern him.
Yeah.
What do you do? If you don't do the 3K, no money's going to meningitis research.
Here's what I do. I can't do the 3K, but I need to raise that money. Mm. What I do is I have a shower.
Good start.
I don't dry myself that well.
Ah.
I put on a vest. I put on some shorts. I stand out in the street and I take a selfie of me with one of my pre-existing medals on. And I post that and say, oh, bloody hell, tough one, that 3K. But I ran out all of the Ks of it. And thanks for your £230.
Well worked out.
Thanks. I think that's the only way around.
You've got out of it. Yeah, I tell you what, you go to sleep, your dad shows up, calm, barely any noise at all. And he's just like, good on you, mate.
Thanks for training for and then not doing a 3K.
Per my ridiculous demands. As this show goes on, what we'd really like is for you, listener, to get in touch with us with your experiences of things that we're talking about. So in this episode, we're talking about dreams. And if you've experienced a dream, something involving a parent who you lost, that maybe confused you or was interesting or novel or just plain weird, we would love it if you'd get in touch with us and send us those dreams. And you can just get in touch with either of us on Twitter, and we'll figure out how to do that. But for now, we got in touch with a few of our friends and family, and they shared with us some of their dreams, and we're just going to look into them a little bit now and try and figure out exactly what is going on. So, bearing in mind how frustrated I am at people who can take comfort from their dad visiting them in dreams, here is my literal sister.
So this is a reoccurring dream that I have a few different variations of, but this was the first one that I had only a few months after Dad died. So I dreamt that I was on a plane, and I hate planes, so I was feeling pretty anxious. But Dad comes and sits down next to me, and he looks like he did before he got sick. He's like healthy and like literally glowing, and he's drinking a beer on the plane. And he asked me how I'm doing, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And then we just start playing cards, and then the time like went by so quickly. And the next thing I know, the plane's landing, and Dad gives me a little wave, and he tells me he loves me, and he says goodbye. And then I wake up. And I have similar dreams to that quite often. And I always feel really like happy and comforted when I wake up, like he's just popping in to check on me. And I think they're my favorite dreams.
I have had, I assume, the same number of dreams as my sister, if not possibly more, since my dad has died. Not once has he said, I love you. If this whole visitation thing is real, then, I mean, it's a bit of an insult, isn't it?
I like the idea that if it is a visitation, that he's got on the plane, he's played cards with his sister, he said, I love you, he's got off, and he's going to deliver Tom some coffees in a zoo.
Well, she's always in them as well. She's part of the family in those dreams.
Oh, so she's there too.
She also gets to see him serving coffees. Law degree. I mean, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, that does that make you feel a bit jealous?
Angry. It makes me feel like when she sent me that, I listened to it because she sent me, it was quite long. And I listened to it and I genuinely came out of it feeling anger. Like I was resentful. Like this, that's not fair that she gets to experience things which comfort her and I don't. Mm. I don't believe in any of this, but if I had a dream in which my dad said, I love you, that would feel nice. You know, and I don't get to have that. So that's not fair, really.
Yeah.
You know, so that's annoying.
But what do you think that dream means? Because the other thing is, perhaps we're not being visited by our dead parents in our dreams. And everything that happens in your dream is coming from within your own head. Uh-huh. So one of the theories is everything that happens in your dream is you talking to you. So what's really happening in that dream is your sister is getting on a plane, telling herself that she loves her, and then getting off again.
It's off the plane.
Really, it's a metaphor for how much your sister loves herself.
Well, no comment from me. But wait, no, hang on a second. Also... No, that's fine. Loving yourself's a good thing. What? Why don't?
No, it is.
So what you're saying is, I hate myself.
No,
I like myself well enough to give myself a coffee and say that's enough of the relationship that I think we should have, mate.
I think what your brain says is that you like the zoo, and also your head does not make any sense.
Now that is something we can agree on.
My brother also had a dream, mm-hmm. which I'm going to play. I've not listened to this, but I remember him telling me about this dream when it first happened. But it'll be interesting to hear him fill in the details.
I had a dream that my brother, Rich, was in my bedroom and he was curled up on the floor in the fetus position and then just began to die. I think I just saw that he'd stopped breathing. And I then ran downstairs and my dad, who had died but was very much alive and well in the dream, and he was a doctor. So I ran downstairs and I said, Dad, you need to come up and you're a doctor, come and save Rich. He started to die, he's dying. But Dad was standing in the front of the kitchen in the doorway, sharpening his knife, and he looked at me, and I just sort of understood in the dream that his look meant I'm just about to start carving the chicken for a Sunday roast. I don't have time to come and save my son's life, and I'm actually quite annoyed that you even asked. And yeah, it's quite a dark dream. And then subsequently I went upstairs and Rich was fine. He was alive. Oh. So, happy endings.
So.
You were in the fetus position.
Yeah. And if we were to, I think, analyse the dreams of my brother and your sister, mm-hmm. who would we say is doing better mentally?
Oh my God, yeah. It's not a bad point. Yeah. I really liked Dad was standing there sharpening his knife. It's the way he said it. Sharpening his knife. I really like that delivery. Oh my God, so you're in the fetus position. He's sharpening his knife.
Mm-hmm. I'm dying.
You're dying. I mean, that's really bleak. I mean, that is proper bleak, that, to be fair.
That's dark, isn't it?
I don't think I've ever dreamed of anyone dying before. So that is properly... But then you turn out to be alive, so it's...
Yeah.
Do you think there's a section on the Dream Moods website for dead dad ominously sharpening knife?
Dead dad sharpens knife instead of saving dying brother.
I really got the idea of his look from that. I could see his face. Just why are you bothering me with this, for the goodness?
To quote, a look that says, I'm about to carve the chicken. Why are you bothering me with this?
With the way the dream started, I was so convinced it was going a look that said, I'm about to start carving his body. That's how it felt it was going. So when the chicken got mentioned, I was turned around for me, frankly.
Yeah, but then this is a dream which my dad is not even... He's not invested enough in my life to you know, want me dead or alive. He's just like, I've got a chicken to eat.
But Rich, if you've already died, death doesn't seem so significant to you.
Yeah, maybe.
You're dying. He's like, great.
Welcome to the afterlife.
Come join me. We'll go to the pub or something.
Yeah, we'll eat a big chicken.
Which I'm carving now in preparation for his visitation.
Also, terrible news. Here's your granddad.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lovely punchline.
Hi, I'm Chris. My biological father died when I was almost 3 years old, so I don't have any memories of him, and I certainly don't remember having any dreams about him since. My mum passed away 15 years ago now, and although memories get a little bit hazy as time passes, I do remember having a dream about her quite soon after she died, where she came to me in a dream and passed on a message that she was okay. And, you know, I took comfort from that, and so much so that I shared that message with my sister. And talking about dreams is not really something that I'm, you know, prone or inclined to do. So it clearly had a big impact on me.
Well, so that's, that, according to the website I went to, is a classic example of a visitation dream.
Well, yes, this is the first dream we've had where the person says, I'm okay.
Hmm. They passed on a message.
Yeah. That's quite nice.
So that would be nice. That would be comforting. That's, you know, better than him serving you two coffees in a zoo.
Quite right. It's not, well, one coffee for me, but it's not a harrowing dream, like, well, sharpening his knife. But I'm glad that Chris sent in a message, because if you caught it at the start there, he mentioned that his dad died when he was very young, and then his mum died about, you know, 15 years ago as well. So sometimes on this show, we talk about who had it worse, if you like, the old dead dad top trumps. Double.
Yeah, that's... He's got significantly better stats than both of us there. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's again, when we talk about, you know, the podcast called Our Dad's Died, but it's not specifically about dads. It's you know, it's stepdads, it's uncles, it's mothers, it's brothers, it's sisters. It's,
yeah, exactly. I've experienced somebody dying. That's what it is, really.
Yeah, it's grief.
Just so happens that you and me, our dads died, but
yeah,
you've had a bit of a bad time and you enjoy joking about it, then hopefully this is helpful.
Yeah.
I've spoken to my mum as well, and she's got a dream. This is the last dream I've got for you today.
Okay.
And this one's a bit... well, Rich, have you met my mum?
I have met your mum, yeah.
Could you summarise her?
She is an artist. She is very friendly. She's a bit mad.
Let's leave it at that.
So, dreams about my dad. Well, he died when I was not in the country. And so there was a sense of perhaps unreality about the whole thing and disbelief. And so I kind of expected him to turn up in a dream and tell me that he had gone, but that didn't happen. And I carried on having normal dreams for about 3 or 4 years where he and Mum would be there. Mum obviously still alive, but he would be there in the room or give me a lift in the car or something like that, just normal. And then one day I went into a room in my dream and he was sitting in a chair and I said to him, "You're dead, aren't you?" And he just turned to me and said, "Yeah." And then the dreams carried on as normal again, back to normal. He was always there with my mum. So whatever that means, I don't know. But that's the way it turned out for me.
That's not a million miles away from the dreams I have about my dad either.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, it was just quite a formal exchange.
It's just matter of fact.
Yeah, it's just a swapping of information. You're dead, aren't you? Yes. Yeah. And I think it is, it probably, if you were to take anything from any of these things, it's very easy to interpret it in a way that can upset you, I think, because unless you're being visited every night, then you're like, well, where was he last night? He's still dead. I still miss him. And he's not popped in on a Thursday. But also dreams, you only remember a dream if you wake up during the dream, I think, is what people say. Otherwise, it doesn't commit to long-term memory.
Right.
And so perhaps he's visiting you and your brother in all of your dreams, and then you're not waking up, and he's just like, can you...
You're
it. He's there every night. And then the one time with you, he gets a chance, he's so confused that he's been sort of supplanted into a zoo, and he's behind a bar, and he's got a coffee, and he's like, well, I guess I'll just give you... Okay, and now he's gone. Fine.
Yeah, it's over. Child's gone.
Yeah.
You missed it, old man.
Yeah, your dreams are such an obstacle course
to get through my psyche. I love the way you're putting it as well. Like, here's something really important to pass on. Like, you need to cancel my phone bill. EE is still taking the money. You need to cancel the... Oh, God, I've got... how do you make a toffee nut latte? You know, and he's just trying to do all of that stuff. By the time he's figured it out, he's in sixes and sevens, Rich.
Exactly. He's trying to deliver the news, but he's got the head of a hippo.
Yeah. What's funny about that? Of all the animals you could have picked, what a perfect pick. He loved the pygmy hippos at Marwell Zoo.
Oh, really?
He picked his favourite animal. When he died, we got a plaque, you know, one of those in memoriam things in the pygmy hippo exhibit in Marwell Zoo. John Gherkin.
Nice. Nice.
Good choice. Okay. Right. I have so many things to say coming out of this episode. I listened to it 2 or 3 times this week. And I'm not 100% sure of where to start. I suppose my favourite part of the episode, which is not any either of our dreams.
Right.
It's a dream of your family member. And it involves your dad with his knife.
Again, it's quite strange hearing, because we recorded these like a long time ago, and for a number of reasons we couldn't release until now. I had completely forgotten about that. And when he started telling the story of me lying in the fetal position and slowly dying on his bedroom floor while my dad sharpened a knife, I think I'd blanked that out.
But not just your brother's dream, though. How about my sister's dream? I think this was... This is... It's so lovely. I mean, I actually forgot how lovely it was.
Yeah.
I haven't said this to her. This is going to be a surprise to her hearing this, by the way, how much I hate her dream.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that feedback. I am so jealous of it. Listening back to it, I'm still really jealous.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Again, I'd sort of forgotten about that and then heard it back and was like, yeah, that's the dream that someone would have in a film. You know, that's the end of Field of Dreams, essentially. If instead of building a baseball stadium, he built an airport.
What, is Field of Dreams a film about dreaming?
Well, in a way.
I haven't seen it, and now I got this idea that it's about people. It's sort of going in. It's like an Inception style thing where they look at people's dreams.
They go back and insert fathers into all the dreams. Yeah. No, it's, I think at the end of Field of Dreams,
it's Dead Dad Inception.
He builds a big baseball pitch because his dad tells him to, but his dad's dead.
And his dad's dead? Oh!
And then at the end, and this is a spoiler, but at the end, his dad's ghost comes back and they play baseball for a bit.
Oh, shit! Fair enough. I didn't realise Field of Dreams was so heavy.
Yeah, very heavy. But also quite fun. But yeah.
Okay.
Dreams are mental. And that's, this is, I mean, it's one of my, it was one of my favourite ones that we recorded because there's trying to put logic into the entirely illogical is a very, very fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. It is why we're planning to do one of these each series, I think.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I think you have, and I definitely have quite recently had a dream, what I would call a game-changing dream about my dad, which I haven't told you. You haven't told me yours because we're saving it for the episode.
Yeah, I've got a big dream. I've got a big dad dream. Right. I mean, I've got a barnstormer. Right. I mean, you know from context, it doesn't involve him slowly walking away from a plane while I'll be there for you plays, or I suppose maybe a more romantic song with the theme from Friends, but you know, hey.
Does it feature a zoo?
What I had available to me. Listen, all will be revealed.
Don't give it away. Okay.
On the next season of Our Dad's Died. That's what I will say.
Yeah, right.
But well, what we do want to do.
Okay. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. What we do want to do in that episode as well is to hear from you about your dreams. If you've ever had a dad-based dream. And I think they are quite common from everyone that I've spoken to. Mm. It's very natural. You'll still dream about someone who was a big part of your life. So send us yours. Maybe we'll give them a bit of analysis. Maybe you can tell us what you thought about them, how they made you feel. If you've got a dream you want to send us, ourdadsdiedpod@gmail.com. And we'll read that out on the show.
Another way you can give us your dreams is by leaving them in a 5-star review.
We're obsessed
on
these 5-star
Apple
reviews.
Podcasts. We need these 5-star reviews because this is how we get on new and noteworthy.
It's unhealthy.
This is how other people find out about this podcast, right? I need you to get your buns on Apple Podcast and 5 stars and leave us a lovely review all about a dream. Just write your dream. Don't even bother reviewing it. Just write the dream. Get this review. I want, when I go on Apple Podcasts, I want this to look insane. like no one reading this will have any idea what the show is about. They'll just be like, why are people writing their crazy dreams here? That's what I want. So next week on the podcast, we have got our good friend Victor Sweeney coming back to give us another shot of his experience as a mortician.
Yeah, Victor, we love him. We've stayed in contact with Victor, and we're hoping that he's going to come back on the podcast again because there are endless. Every time I've listened to that episode again, I've come up with more questions that I want to ask him.
Exactly, and one of the questions that we only touched on in that episode was about his dreams as a mortician. So I was wondering if we could get a little bit more information about that. What do funeral directors dream about? So I went on Reddit.
Ooh.
Subreddit, Ask Funeral Directors. It's not out during the blackout. And I said, you know, me and my best friend lost our dads a few years ago. This is what a mortician told us. What kind of anxiety dreams do funeral directors have? And I thought, Rich, I might read you a couple of them here for you to give your prime, pristine. Now, you know about dreams now. You're an expert.
Yeah. Yes.
A dream expert. Give us your analysis on what this means.
Sure thing.
So here's the first one for you here. I don't dream. I also rarely sleep.
Oh. That is both a very appropriate thing for an undertaker to say, and also exactly what you don't want to hear from a mortician. I don't dream. I rarely sleep.
That counts for almost all the responses.
Is what that
they
really?
Don't. No. They're talking about being traumatized, Rich.
Right.
The bodies are safe.
Okay.
As far as we know. Can't speak for all of them. Right, so here's one.
I have dreams a lot that the person I'm embalming is actually alive. And then because I embalmed them, I basically killed them.
Which is the thing that we said to Victor, have you ever had that dream? And he said no. But I mean, that must, I can see why you would, surely that's the big fear if you're a mortician, right?
It's horrendous. You've killed a man by embalming him.
And what an awful way to go. Efficient, but awful way to go.
I mean, it cuts through, doesn't it? There's a speed there, which is at least, if nothing else, a slight you'd be grateful for. It's awful, isn't it? Now, I appreciate you might be saying right now, well, hang on a second, Tom. You said I'd get to do some dream analysis. And so far, the analysis has been quite straightforward. Well, I've got
pretty
one
on
for
the
you
nose,
now.
Aren't they? Okay, hit me.
So you've heard what they're all like. People saying we don't sleep, etc., etc. Here's one from Yellow Diplodocus on Reddit. Last night, I had a dream that I was eating copious amounts of salt.
Ooh.
Just plain salt.
Eating copious amounts of salt.
Now, come on, we've got to do them a favour here. We've got to figure out the meaning behind this, Rich.
Right. Well, I mean, salt is very drying.
Carry on.
When you embalm a body, as Victor told us, you do have to drain it.
It's that drain time coming back.
Could it be the fear, because he spent so long draining bodies, that sort of subconsciously he's preparing for his own death by eating so much salt that it absorbs all of the fluid, so there's no draining? Is it his reckoning of sort of coming to terms with death?
I don't like that at all.
No, I mean, no one. I didn't. No, you didn't say anyone had to like it. It's
no, that's true. I've got an alternative thought. I wondered if it was, you know, trying to get in the head of dreammoods.com.
Yeah.
From the episode, I wondered if it was going to be like, salt is a simple food, and if you're dreaming of a simple food, that means you're craving simpleness in your life. Maybe being a funeral director is quite complicated. So the dream is calling out for copious amount of simplicity in their life.
I see. Possibly. I like that you went into journalism mode when you said that. Salt is a famously basic product. But where does it come from? Well, we went to Stoke to find out.
Mad dreams from funeral directors. And I don't know what to say. Other than, if you want to know more from the psyche of what makes a funeral director tick, we have Victor coming back on next week. And he doesn't just talk to us about being a funeral director next week. He talks to us about, well, frankly, personal tragedy. So if you've got this far in the podcast, clearly that's something you're into.
Yes.
So stick around and please send us your dreams and they may well get read out on the podcast.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next Friday with a bit more Dead Dad content. But until then, look after your mums.
And your dads will look after themselves.
Oh, bye.
Bye-bye.